Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And good to see you here this morning on this Memorial Day weekend. I think it is right and proper and good for us to honor and remember those who served our country and have given of themselves, and want to think along those thoughts this morning. The scripture does that as well. And we'll look at that in Romans chapter 1. Between the preacher on Wednesday night and Brother Justin on Sunday morning Sunday school, they've left me a comma to preach on out of the book of Romans. That's about all that's left, but we'll try to do the best with what we've got this morning. All right, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, thank you for your prayers. By the way, the preacher and I are getting along great. I got back Monday. He left on Tuesday. We're having a great time together. We're getting on very well. And thank you for your prayers for us last week. Last weekend, had the privilege of preaching at a men's retreat in Tennessee last Friday night, and then got to preach in Corinth, Mississippi on last Sunday with a friend that many of you know and love, Brother Donald Scully. Has been there for 25 years, and I don't have this memory. I walked in, and the last time I preached there was 22 years ago, and I walked in on Sunday morning. The guy said, I remember you. You preached here about 20 years ago. I'm like, man, I don't remember what I did 20 minutes ago. What do you mean 20 years ago? But it was good to be back there at Grace Bible Baptist and Brother Scully. And it's good to spend some time with him. We enjoyed our time away. Thank you for praying for us. We got back on Monday and then was down in Florida for our grandson's graduation. Kindergarten graduation, by the way. I want to make that known. Some of you will make me older than what I am. But there on Wednesday night and then back on Thursday, we're glad to be home. Thank you for your prayers. Many of you have asked about our trips, and we're certainly grateful for your prayers during that. And one of the things I enjoyed about being in Corinth last Sunday, the last time we were there, which was 22 years ago, I was able to preach a revival there and was there for several days and got to go to the battlefield at Shiloh and walk that battlefield. And what an amazing story. At that time, it was the bloodiest battle up until Gettysburg in the Civil War. And some great history there, and we got to see a little bit of that this past last weekend when we were there. I've had the privilege of being at Gettysburg and walking that battlefield as well, and of course being at Arlington and seeing the tomb. If you've never seen the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, that is an amazing and moving event. And what a privilege it is to have been there. And I'm grateful for everyone who has served and is still serving, and I trust you'll pray for them. They still need our prayers just as much today as they ever have. And I trust that we'll be faithful in lifting them up in prayer and honoring them as well. Romans chapter 1, if you're able to do so, will you please stand with us, please, out of reverence for the Word of God this morning. And I'll look in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. We'll read down to verse 8. Verse 1, Paul said, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye are also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. As I said earlier, I think it is right and proper for us to showcase those soldiers who have given their life and paid the ultimate sacrifice in our military service. And I believe that the scriptures showcase some saints who gave their life as well. And he says in verse 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And the Bible, he talks about the church at Rome and the church of Thessalonica. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith into Godward is spread abroad. He said in 3 John chapter 1, verse 12, John writes, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. I'm glad that God showcases some saints that we can model our life after, and their name was spread abroad. Memorial Day is all about spreading about the names of those who served our country. And this morning I want to spread abroad some spiritual names who have served their Lord as well. Showcasing the saints. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the Word of God, Lord, that you showcase, just as we will on this Memorial Day. Many names will be called out tomorrow, especially at different memorials across the nation. And that is proper, that is right, that ought be done. But Lord, I'm glad that you showcased from this chapter, Romans chapter 1, verse 8, that there were saints whose their faith was spread abroad, was showcased, was highlighted because of their work for you. And Lord, I pray that we would be saints that when, if you tarry your coming 100 years from now, we would be the type of individuals that would display the same attributes that we're going to read about this morning, that you could showcase our service to you as well. I pray you bless the service this morning. May you help your people, and may you honor your Son is our prayer. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Chicago, Illinois, a guy by the name of Al Capone really kind of ruled Chicago for a number of years. He was able to pretty much do whatever he wanted to for a number of years, wreak chaos in that city. He went unchecked for bootleg booze and prostitution to murder. And everything really kind of went not unnoticed, but went unaccounted for, all because of one guy, and that guy was by a guy by the name of Easy Eddie. Easy Eddie was Al Capone's lawyer. And Al Capone loved him, obviously so, and took good care of him. Easy Eddie had, we hear talking about having it on Easy Street. Easy Eddie had it on Easy Street. Al Capone took good care of him, paid him a house salary, gave him security, gave him a big mansion. Matter of fact, Easy Eddie's mansion took up an entire city block in the city of Chicago. He had anything and everything he wanted. Easy Eddie did have a soft spot. He had one son whom he loved dearly, and he made sure that that son had everything he could ever want. He had the best education. He had the best clothes. He had the best toys. He had the best, when he got older, he had the best cars. Anything that his son wanted, Easy Eddie provided for him because of his love for him. But as he got older, he realized there was one thing that he could not give his son. And the one thing he could not give his son was a good example and a good name. Solomon said in Proverbs that a good name is better than great riches. And it bothered Easy Eddie. He could not give his son a good name and a good reputation and a good example and role model to look up to. So one day, Easy Eddie made a very difficult decision. He decided for the sake of his son, he wanted to leave his son a good example and a good testimony and a good name. The only thing he could do was turn in Al Capone. So Easy Eddie went to the authorities and told them the truth about Al Capone and cleaned up his tarnished name and offered some resemblance of integrity and pride. Within a year of doing that, Eddie's life was taken in a blaze of gunfire in an obscure street in downtown Chicago. But he paid the ultimate price to give his son the greatest gift that he could give him, and that was a good name and a good reputation and a good example. I'm glad we have examples in Scripture. In Romans chapter 1, the verse 8, he said, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole earth. I want to look at some things this morning in Scripture that God used people in Scripture, and he spread their name abroad because of some things, some attributes that were in their lives. Notice, first of all, he recognized them for the service that they'd given to the Lord. The service to the Lord. Did you know you and I will be known for our service unto the Lord? Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is an interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. Dorcas was full of good works. She was known far and wide for her good works. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. There's a number of people, we'll read about a few of them this morning, that were known for their good works. And let me just say this very parenthetically, very quickly, that our service is to the Lord. Our service, if I stay here very long, you'll hear this probably many times over. I said it many times back at Pine Bluff. We serve the Lord, but we minister to people. Now, it's important that we understand that distinction. We minister to people, but we don't serve people. We serve the Lord. You say, preacher, why is that important? Here's why it's important. If you serve people, then when people disappoint you, you'll stop serving. But when you serve the Lord, when people disappoint you, you won't stop serving because you're not serving people. You're serving the Lord. Now, in our service, we minister to people, and people are flawed. People will take you for granted. They will misunderstand you. They will misrepresent you. They will not always be appreciative for all that you do. So we don't serve people. We serve the Lord, but our service to the Lord is ministering to people. And again, sometimes people are flawed. They don't appreciate it. They misunderstand it, misrepresent it, and it's not always taken in the way that it's meant. So you don't serve the pastor here. Thank God for our God, but you don't serve the pastor. We serve the Lord. And so all of our service is unto Him. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and notice verse 10. 1 Timothy 2, verse 10. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10. And notice what Paul says to Timothy there. He said, well report above for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Turn over just a couple pages to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and we find a couple passages there that deal with our work. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, watch this, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. It's interesting, Peter said, look, they're going to talk bad about you, but they're also going to see your good works. And if you stand for truth, there'll be folks that talk about you. They'll mock you, they'll make fun of you, but they will see your good works and glorify your Father. Notice Titus chapter 2 and notice verse 14. Titus 2 verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Notice what he said. He gave himself for us. He might redeem us from iniquity, save us from our sins, and make us zealous of good works. If you're saved by the grace of God this morning, you ought to be zealous and excited to do work and service in the work of God. Look in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. I know what some people say, well, I tell you what, we have a preacher and he's always harping about us serving the Lord. He's always harping about what we ought to do for God. He's always on our case about how we ought to serve God. Did you know he's commanded to?
That's right.
Look in Titus chapter 3, notice verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. You know what Paul said to Titus? Paul said to Titus, don't let up on this. You keep pounding about it. What is it? That thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So if you get tired of the preacher always harping on do our service to God and doing good works, he's been commanded to by the Apostle Paul. He said, I would that you would affirm constantly, all the time, encourage, exhort us to be busy in the service and in the work of God. He said in Titus chapter 3, verse 8, those which have believed. And if we're a believer, if we're saved by the grace of God, we believe what Christ has done for us, then we ought to be zealous of good works. It was Robert Frost who said, the world is full of willing people. Some willing to work and the rest of them willing to let them work. And boy, that's true in the world, and it's true in the church as well. There are those that are willing to work, and thank God. One thing that we have enjoyed about our time here and we've learned is this is a church that is willing to work. Boy, I thank God for that. I'm glad that you do your service not unto men, but you do your service unto the Lord. Now, we minister to men, but we serve the Lord. What a privilege it is to be in the service of the King. Not everybody's service is the same. Not everybody does the same thing. What a beautiful song we just had. Not all of us have that talent. Some of us fake it pretty good. But not all of us have that talent as we just heard. And in the choir special this morning, man, I thought the rapture was going to take place about the second verse. Man, I was ready for the Lord to come back. That was great. That was fantastic. Not everybody has the same gift. But whatever your gift is, find your gift and use it to serve the Lord. And see, so look, in Romans chapter 1, your faith is spread about upon the whole world because of your service to the Lord. Number one, because of their service. Number two, because of their selflessness. Their selflessness. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Not only because of their service to the Lord, their faith was spread about. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. He said, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. What an amazing, by the way, the testimony of Victory Baptist Church through missions is spread out literally around the world. What this church does for missions is an amazing thing. And it doesn't happen right here. I want to tell you, every missionary that goes out, they talk about Victory Baptist Church and the heart that they have for missions. And so your service doesn't stay just here. You say, well, nobody recognized me. Nobody saw what I did. Listen, first of all, God saw it, and that's all that matters. But may I say to you that when we're faithful, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, our services spread around the world. Not only, number one, was their service, but number two, their selflessness. Selflessness. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 16 in verse 4. He said, who have laid for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Paul is speaking of Aquila and Priscilla in Romans chapter 16 and verse 14, or verse 4 rather. And the Bible said that they laid down their own necks. That's selflessness. They're willing to offer themselves. The Bible says again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, he says, so be affectionately desirous of you. We are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Paul said, look, I didn't just give you the gospel. Paul said, I gave you everything I had. I gave you my heart. I gave you my soul. I gave you my service. Paul was selfless in his service. And Paul understood that saints would be recognized not only for their service, but also for their selflessness. Now, you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's read it for real in verse 2. This is what's called the giving chapter. The chapter is often preached on during missions. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Here's what they're saying. Even though they were poor, they were still giving, and giving liberally. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Not only do we see their service, but we see their selflessness. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 2 and verse 3, they were poor. He said, out of their poverty, they gave through their liberality, or they gave liberally. And they not only gave of their means, but they gave of themselves. They were selfless. It's been stated that Bob Feller was probably one of the most underrated players in all of Major League Baseball. When he was 23 years old, he threw his first no-hitter at 23. The first part of his career, he won 107 games in the Major League. He would go on to finish his Major League career with another 3 no-hitters, 12 one-hitters, and 266 total wins. But there was a lapse in his career. Now, as illustrious, can you, 23, he already pitched a no-hitter, 266 wins, three no-hitters total, 12 one-hitters. You don't find pitchers today who have that kind of record. And yet, his career was short-lived, to some degree, was interrupted because of one event, World War II. And he decided he would volunteer and go into World War II. He was not drafted. He decided to go on his own accord. And he sacrificed his career for the sake and the benefit of his country that he loved dearly. I want to tell you, that is a selfless individual. By the way, there's many other men that sacrificed and gave all they have, and we understand that. But it's rare when someone will give up that kind of popularity and fame and all that he had there at his disposal and give it up. Why? Because he was selfless. You know what we need in the church today? We need selfless people. Number one, we see they were noted for their service. Number two, because of their selflessness. Then notice number three, because of their steadfastness. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Not only because of their service, not only because of their selflessness, but number three, because of their steadfastness. Paul said to the church at Rome, to the church at Thessalonica, your faith is spread about upon the whole world. Why? Because of their service, because of their selflessness. Number three, because of their steadfastness. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 5. While you're turning there, Galatians chapter 5, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread in prayers. The early church was steadfast. They just would not quit. They were determined to keep serving the Lord. Look in Galatians chapter 5 and notice verse 1. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. While you turn to Colossians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your faith, of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my crown and my joy, stand fast in the Lord. So Paul says to the church at Corinth, to the church at Galatia, to the church at Philippi, stand fast. Be steadfast in your service. Don't get deterred. Don't get distracted. Don't get defeated. Don't get discouraged. Just keep on serving the Lord. Look in Colossians chapter 2, if you would, please. Colossians chapter 2. And notice, if you would, and verse 5. Colossians 2, verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Notice what Paul said. Paul said, I'm beholding and I take great joy in the fact that you are steadfast, that you're faithful, that you're committed. And so Paul tells them about their steadfastness in the Lord. Paul says your faith is spread abroad because you're just steadfast. You're just steady. You're just faithful. You're just consistent. Now notice some things very quickly. We have to be steadfast even in the midst of our afflictions. Well, it's easy to be steadfast if everything's going great. But not everything goes great all the time. It's not always cookies and cream. It's not always easy street. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hardships. Sometimes there's pain, there's suffering. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul writes these words, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, for your patience and your faith are your steadfastness in all your persecution and tribulations that ye endure. Paul said, be steadfast even in the midst of afflictions. I wish I could say that everything in life goes crystal clear and smooth and easy, but life is not that way, is it? Life is full of difficulties. Life is full of obstacles. Life is full of heartbreak. I think about men who've gone, I think about Fanny Crosby, who served the Lord despite her difficulties. I think about Ron Hamilton, who contracted cancer and lost his eyesight in one eye, and yet he was still faithful to serve God. I think about Corrie Ten Boom and so many others who Johnny Erickson Todd and so many others who kept serving God even in the midst of their affliction. I think about our pastor who stayed faithful even after the loss of a son. He stayed faithful, just steadfast, even when life is difficult. And Paul said, be steadfast even in the midst of your affliction. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I love this verse because Peter reminds us that you're not the only one with problems. Sometimes when we go through difficulty, we want to say, woe is me, I'm the only one suffering. And we're not, and it feels that way. And I don't mean to diminish what your suffering is, but you're not the first one to go down that path. And by the way, you won't be the last one. And so Paul said, let's be steadfast even in the midst of our affliction. Notice number two, be steadfast even when we're attacked. Even when we're attacked. Look in Colossians chapter 2, notice verse 4. Colossians chapter 2, notice verse 4. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul says this, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now in verse 5, he talks about their steadfastness. But he talks about that after they've been attacked with enticing words. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such, verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Paul said, look, the gospel is going to be attacked. And by the way, it is still being attacked in this day. When a Jolly Joel will get up on TV and say that there's no place called hell and we're not accountable for our sin, that is an attack on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this book does not change. And so this book has been attacked. It is still being attacked and will always be attacked. And Paul said, look, even when you're attacked by false doctrine, stay steadfast. Verse 4 and verse 5 of Colossians chapter 2, he talks about the deceitfulness in verse 4 and about the steadfastness in verse 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, down to verse 13, down to verse 15, he talks about those false apostles and deceitful workers transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. And the Bible says, he goes on to say, whose end shall be according to their works. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are many false prophets and false teachers who are just laying around waiting to deceive somebody with false doctrine. So be steadfast. Be steadfast even during the afflictions of life. Be steadfast even when we're attacked. And then notice the next thing very quickly. Be steadfast because the allies who serve with us. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and notice verse 7 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 1 verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of the God, a faithful minister of Christ. He said, ye learned of Epaphras, our fellow servant, who's a faithful minister. You know what Paul is saying? Paul said, you just learned about Epaphras, but hey, he's been serving the whole time. You know one reason we ought to be steadfast? Because there are allies who are fighting with us. And by the way, you may never see them or never know them. Brother Donald Scully, who I was preaching for, had the privilege of preaching for last Sunday, is in Israel this week on a mission to the troops there. And I pray, trust you'll pray for his safety and what they're doing. He was taking $30,000 worth of equipment with him over there in the group that he was with. And while he is there in Israel, my son-in-law's pastor, my son-in-law is preaching in his church today, and his pastor is also in Israel. I don't know if they'll ever meet up or connect. But here's the point. You know, there's folks all over the world today who are preaching the same truth that you and I are preaching and declaring and living and practicing. And you know when we ought to be steadfast and faithful? Because we're not the only one in the fight. There's folks that are dependent upon you. There are folks that your prayers for those missionaries, that does not go unnoticed. They need your prayer on the foreign field. They need your support. They need to know they've got someone who's got their back in the battle. So Paul says, look, I want to showcase these saints because of their service, because of their selflessness. Number three, because of their steadfastness. And then notice number four, because of their submission. Because of their submission. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 16 and verse 19. Paul said this, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. And I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Four characteristics that God mentions about those whose faith was spread throughout the whole world. Number one, their service. Number two, their selflessness. Number three, their steadfastness. They didn't get discouraged. They didn't get distracted. Didn't get defeated. They were just steadfast in the work of God. And then number four, their submission. Now, number four is just as important as number one because I know a lot of people who serve God, but they're not submitted to God. Now, I've said it before. Let me say it again. The servant does not dictate to the master how, when, and where they will serve. But I know some people who will give you a long list of all they do for God, but they couldn't tell you the last time they hit the altar. They couldn't tell you the last time that God had rule and reign in their life. And sometimes their service is matched by their stubbornness. Our service ought to be matched by our submission to the master in what God wants us to do. It's not always fun. It's not always enjoyable. It's not always highlighted. It's not always in the glitz and the glamour. But are you submitted to whatever God wants to do in your life and in your ministry, what God is doing? Are you submitted to whatever God wants to do? I said it a couple weeks ago. We used to sing a song, I'll say yes, Lord, yes to your will and to your way. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree. And I'll answer, yes, Lord, yes. These men, Paul said, your obedience is spread out upon the whole world. There was a lieutenant commander in the Second World War. His name was Butch. He was a fighter pilot, a pilot assigned to the aircraft carrier Lexington in the South Pacific. One day, his entire squadron was sent on a mission. He got airborne, and after he got airborne, he realized that someone had not fueled up his plane properly, and there was no way he had enough fuel to complete the mission and come back. There was no other really choice other than to turn back. So he reluctantly turned back and started back to the fleet and back to the carrier. And when he got there, when he got about halfway back, he encountered a group of Japanese aircraft that were headed toward the carrier. He didn't have enough time or enough fuel to go back to get the rest of his squadron to come back and help. Neither could he radio down to the carrier to let them know they were coming. So he only had one option. That option was to take on that squadron of Japanese fighters by himself. So he began to weave in and out of those planes and began to dive in between those planes and begin to fire among them. He had a 50 caliber guns on the wings, and he began to shoot until finally he was completely out of artillery. And with nothing, he shot, three or four planes out of the air. And finally, with no artillery left, but a little bit of fuel left, he just began to dive in front of those other airplanes and trying to clip the wings or to tell them to damage the aircraft so they could not get to the carrier that he had just come from to do damage to them. After several minutes of finally doing that, the Japanese pilots finally gave up, took off the other direction, and his old tattered plane finally made it back to the carrier from which he had departed from. The cameras will later tell the tale that of all that he'd done, he ended up taking five aircraft out, either by gunfire or by clipping their wings or the tail of the camera or the tail of the airplane. On February the 20th, 1942, he became the Navy's first ace of World War II and the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. 1 year later, Butch would be on a routine mission, and at the age of 29, he was killed in combat. His hometown would not allow that act of heroism to go unnoticed. And so they erected a monument between Terminal 1 and Terminal 2 in Chicago's O'Hare Airport. There's a monument to Butch O'Hare, the hometown hero of World War II. You can go there today and you can see that monument. Interesting thing on that monument, it gives his family. And it mentions Butch O'Hare, that World War II hero who single-handedly fought off those Japanese pilots. And there between Airport Terminal 1 and Terminal 2 is a large monument to Butch O'Hare. And up under that, it will say this, the son of Eddie O'Hare. Eddie O'Hare was Easy Eddie. That man who made a difficult decision to say, the only thing I can give my son, I can't give him wealth, I can't give him everything else, but one thing I can leave my son is I can leave him a good name and a good example. And while it cost him his life, he taught his young son, Butch, that honor and integrity and character was greater than any riches any man could ever afford. Some of you have flown in and out and through O'Hare Airport. Next time you're there, go through Terminal 1 and Terminal 2 and find that monument to the son of Easy Eddie, Butch O'Hare. Why? Because his name is now spread literally around the world. They know about, what, second largest airport in the United States? And they know about the heroism of one individual person. And you know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1? He said, your faith is spread abroad. You say, preacher, all I do is teach a class. All I do is sing in the choir. All I do is usher. All I do is help on security. All I do is whatever it is you do in this church. You know what your faith is done? Your faith is spread about around the world. Why? Because of your service, because of your selflessness, because of your steadfastness, and because of your submission. Paul said, I want to call attention, Romans chapter 1, very first chapter. By the way, you know what the last chapter of Romans is? Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 mentions 36 individuals that Paul calls by name for their service to God. And there are many more that Paul does not name. I want to tell you, there's going to come a day. You say, preacher, my service down here, maybe nobody's seen it, nobody's recognized. That's fine. But there's going to be a day when Jesus will showcase all the saints. And I want him to be able to say about me, hey, I can showcase Keith Smith because of his service, his selflessness, his steadfastness, and his submission to do whatever God wanted him to do. I trust you can be qualified with these characteristics this morning and let God showcase our faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning.